natural for reading so well. So what I want to do, as you'll have guessed, I want to focus on this truth, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And I want us to think about why it's such an important truth, what it means to us today. And I think we all know that it's an important truth. When Paul wrote that letter to the church at Corinth that Rachel read a few verses from, Paul wrote, didn't he? I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. So Paul says the resurrection is of first importance. And that's probably why it's a truth that is so often attacked these days, denied. And I want us to think about this morning is why it matters so much. Now you might think, well, that's so important, it doesn't need an explanation. But I actually want to give you four different reasons why it's so important to us. And these four different reasons affect every aspect of our lives. If you've got a printout of the sheet that I emailed around yesterday, then if you want, you'll be able to write in the reasons as we go. If you haven't got it, you haven't seen it, please don't worry. It really doesn't matter very much. It was just something else that I did as originally this was going to be an all-age service. I would normally do a sheet for an all-age service. And today we're not going to be looking at a single Bible passage, but we're going to be looking up four different verses as we go through. And every verse of those four contains the word raised or raise. They all relate to the resurrection of Jesus. And if you want to look them up, then they're all either from the book of Romans or the book of 1 Corinthians. So they're right next to each other in the Bible. So if you found one of them, you won't have to go very far to find the next one. So I just want to pray for us again, and then we're going to look at these reasons. Heavenly Father, we do pray that as we look at your word this morning, that you will speak to us. It's you we want to hear from. We don't want to hear my words or anyone else's words. We want to hear your voice. And as you speak to us through your word, will you convince us that these things are true? Will you send your spirit into our hearts and lives so that we can believe these things and so that they will transform our lives? We know this truth, if it's believed, will change us. And we ask you to do that this morning for the glory of your name. Amen. So the first aspect of our life that's affected by the resurrection is our past. It's our past. Every one of us who is born into this world is born with a sinful nature. Now, we don't like to think about that. We like to think of ourselves basically as good people, but it's true. We're born with a sinful nature. We're born as a son or daughter of Adam. And because Adam ate that fruit back in the Garden of Eden, we are born under God's judgment. And we then go on to commit plenty of sins of our own, because we are called to love God with our heart and our soul and our mind and our strength, and to love our neighbour, everyone, not just the person that lives next door, to love our neighbour as we love ourselves. But we don't do that. We don't. We love ourselves the most. We take God's good gifts and we often use them for our own selfish purposes. We put ourselves first and we ignore our Creator, who gave us life, who gives us breath, who gives us everything we enjoy. So sin is falling short of God's standard. And we've all done that. And we need God's forgiveness, and we need to know that we are forgiven. And for this reason, God sent his son Jesus into the world. Jesus, he didn't come simply to to show us another way to live or to be a good teacher. He came to offer his life in our place. Because the Bible clearly says that the wages of sin is death. Now, Jesus committed no sins. He always perfectly loved God. He perfectly loved others. So on the cross, as he died, Jesus was offering his perfect life as payment for the sins that we had committed. But the question is, was this price enough? When Jesus offered his life as payment, was that payment enough? Did he pay off all of our debt or just some of our debt? Perhaps there is still some debt to be paid. Now, here's an illustration that I hope might work well for you kids listening. And it's like all illustrations, it's not perfect, but I hope it helps. So imagine, for some of you, this might be hard to imagine. Some it might be easier. Imagine you've been caught doing something terrible at school. You've done something terrible. And you've heard that the head teacher is going to exclude you from school permanently. You're going to be leaving. You're not coming back. And you've been called to the head teacher's office, and you're expecting that you're going to go in there. You're going to get a lecture. Your parents are going to be called. They're going to come and collect you, and they're going to take you away from school for the last time. But you've got a teacher at the school who is willing to stand up for you and represent you. And that teacher says to you, look, don't worry. I'm going to go and see the head teacher. I'm going to go and see the head teacher on your behalf, and I'm going to sort this whole mess out. You're not going to need to be excluded. It's going to be okay. You're going to get another chance. And off she goes. She goes into the head teacher's office and the door closes behind her. But she never, ever comes out. She never comes out. Well, what would you think? Has she sorted it out or not? Surely it doesn't seem very good that she's gone into the head teacher's office and never come out. Perhaps she's been excluded too. You would still be waiting in fear, wouldn't you? You wouldn't know whether your problem had been solved or not. Well, the resurrection of Jesus gives us all the proof we need that his suffering, his death, was accepted by God as the full and final payment for sin. No more payment needs to be made. Now, if you've got your Bibles and you want to look it up, the first verse, which I put on the sheet, is from Romans 4, verse 25. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. And that verse says this: Jesus was delivered up for our trespasses and raised, as that first raised, for our justification. Now, first part, Jesus was delivered for our trespasses or sins. That's clear enough. But then it says he was raised for our justification. Now, justification is a word that we don't use so much, do we? But justification is when God the Father says of us, not guilty. It's a legal verdict, not guilty. Now, if the price that Jesus paid was not enough, he would have stayed dead and we would still be guilty. But his resurrection demonstrates that not guilty verdict. And we can know that our past has been dealt with. We are free. Jesus's resurrection guarantees that the price for our sins, my sins, and everyone who trusts in Jesus, the price for those sins has been paid in full. Hallelujah. In full. But the benefits of Jesus' resurrection don't end there. Because if you're anything like me, you have a fresh need, and I have a fresh need each day for Jesus' grace and his work in my life. Sometimes I'm disgusted by the thoughts that pop into my head and the words that come out of my mouth. And sometimes my actions reveal just how little I love God, how little I love other people. Perhaps particularly the things that I don't do show that really I don't care for people very much some of the time. And perhaps you sometimes struggle the same way I do. And perhaps as someone we struggle to like, and maybe we can actually be secretly pleased if something unpleasant has happened to them. Do you ever do that? I sometimes do that. Terrible. Perhaps someone has upset us, and we imagine all the things that we'd like to say to them. We imagine how we could give them a piece of our mind. Perhaps we really do give them a piece of our mind. And when I become aware just how much I'm struggling to love God and to love my neighbour, what I need to know is that I've got someone powerful who loves me, who is in the very throne room of heaven and is working actively on my behalf. And Jesus is that person. So the next verse, you can just flick on a few pages. It's Romans 8, verse 34. Just a few pages on from where you were. Romans 8, verse 34. And that says, who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Interceding means he's representing us. Jesus' resurrection means that it's not just that he's on our side, but he's doing something about our situation. He's listening to our prayers, and perhaps he's adding some of his own prayers as he talks to God the Father on our behalf. Perhaps he's actually sending angels to our side to help us. Perhaps he is binding the evil plans of the devil so that we won't fall into the devil's temptations. It's such a comfort to know that Jesus is working in heaven for us. Now, he's not working to pay for our sins. That's done once and for all time. That is done. It is finished. But he is working on our behalf as we live our lives day by day. Isn't that something we need to know? And we face trials, don't we, of many different kinds. But we don't face them alone. Jesus sees us. He knows what we're going through, and he's sympathetic, he's merciful. It's not that he makes excuses for us, it's not that he pretends it doesn't matter when we still sin, but he cares for us, and he hears our cries for help, and he is patient and loving. So Jesus' resurrection guarantees us that we have a powerful friend in heaven. He's there today. He's going to be there tomorrow. He's going to be there every day until we reach the end of our lives on earth. And if we were more aware of this, don't you think it would change our struggles? Don't you think it would change the way we experience our trials to know that there's never a moment that passes without Jesus caring for us, seeing us, loving us, working for us? At the moment, we're separated from many of those we love, aren't we? Think about how often you think about those that you want to be with, but you can't be with. We think about them a lot, don't we? But if we think about those we love, imagine how this compares to Jesus. You're on his mind. all the time. If you're suffering, he is full of compassion. If you fall into sin, he's grieved. And if you resist temptation and live for him, he takes great delight. He rejoices in you. So Jesus' resurrection guarantees us his continual love and care. That's a wonderful truth. So we've seen that Jesus' resurrection gives us what we need for our past, forgiveness of sins. It gives us what we need every moment of every day, a loving, powerful friend in heaven. But it also gives us what we need as our life comes to its end. Now, I'm sure you've been like many of us, following the death rate as it's been growing. And I think 917 people were announced dead yesterday as a result of COVID-19. And I'm sure, like me, you're eagerly looking forward to that point when we reach the peak. It should be sometime, praise God, it should be sometime in the next few days when our death rate peaks and it starts to come down again. But I mean, really, we all know the death rate for human beings is 100%, isn't it? It's 100%. But death feels to have come closer in recent days for many of us. But we know that whatever we do, however we care for ourselves, however we try to stay healthy, if we live long enough, our bodies eventually break down, we fade away, and we die. And for many of you who are younger, maybe that seems like it's a long way off, but perhaps actually, I think even for some of the youngsters, coronavirus has just brought thoughts of death a bit closer to the surface. What do we need? What do we need as we face death, or as we face the death of our loved ones? We need to have a hope that is stronger than the grave. And where can we find this hope? Only in the resurrection of Jesus. And think about it, all through history, human beings have tried to deal with the ever-present reality of death. Currently, in our society, we either ignore it, try not to think about it very much, maybe make a bit of a joke about it, talk about it in a way that doesn't sound so terrible. But death is terrible. It's a violent intruder into the good world that God has made. But the resurrection of Jesus allows us to look death straight in the face and know that because Jesus has conquered death, if we are united to him, we will conquer death too. So the next verse, if you want to look it up, is in the next book on from Romans, which is 1 Corinthians. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. So just flick on a few pages. And that verse says, God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. If Jesus' resurrection had not been a physical, historical reality, how can we find hope in the face of death? We can't. But here, the link is completely clear, isn't it? God raised Jesus, and in that same power, he will raise us up. Death is not the end. Even though our bodies turn to bones, and our bones turn to dust, the same God who formed Adam from the dust of the ground and blew the breath of life into him by the power of his spirit, this same God is going to resurrect the heap of dust that we will one day become. And we can be sure of this because of Jesus' resurrection. It's all the proof we need. And I'm so thankful that as my body at nearly 53, starts to show increasing signs of wear and tear. I don't have to mourn as someone who has no hope. As we look at our elderly relatives, we don't have to mourn as someone who has no hope. I know that one day I'll have a renewed body back to its best, or better than its best, actually, because it'll work perfectly. And that is why the first Easter transforms things so dramatically. This is why the first disciples went from being a terrified, broken group hiding away from the authorities out of fear, and they turned into a bold band of men and women who started turning the world upside down, because the resurrection changes everything. So I want to ask you this morning, has the resurrection changed everything for you? Don't fear death. Don't try to convince yourself that death is the end. It isn't. There is a resurrection for everyone. Those who do not know the forgiveness that Jesus brings will still be resurrected to face judgment. But for those who know that their sins have been paid for on the cross, Jesus' resurrection guarantees that we too will be raised to new life with him. So, finally, we've talked about the past, we've talked about the present, we've talked about every future present moment, day by day, until we reach our death. So what's left, you might be thinking? What's the fourth point? Well, this is where it starts to get so good that our minds can really struggle to take it in. What is it that we need to know about our resurrected bodies? We need to know, don't we, that the same cycle of death and decay is not going to repeat all over again. I mean, there are belief systems, aren't there, that hold to reincarnation. Our current life ends and we're reborn. And then that life ends and we're reborn. Hindus believe this, others too, but there's no guarantee in that belief system that the new life will be any better than the last. In fact, it teaches that if someone has lived a bad life, they may be reborn in a lower form of life, or a worse situation. And this is the concept of karma. What you do in this life affects how you'll be reborn in the next cycle. But Christianity is gloriously different. We're reborn not because of the quality of our lives, but because of the quality of Jesus' life. That determines our future. And he is going to be raised to an indestructible, never-ending life. And so will we. So imagine what it will be like, what it will be like, to be strong and healthy forever. No more death, no more illness, no more disability. Imagine what it will be like not to fear a single thing ever again, to know that we are completely safe and secure. Imagine what it will be like never to worry about what other people may think of you. Never to worry about that, ever. Imagine what it will be like never to be sorrowful again, never to have a sense of loss, never to be treated harshly or unfairly, nothing like that. Imagine what it will be like to be forever truly and deeply satisfied and happy. No regrets, no guilt, no shame, no if only I had done that, or if only I hadn't done that. Imagine what it will be like to be truly good. No greed, no lust, no hypocrisy, no hatred, we're going to see Jesus' face and we're going to be like him and we are going to be truly home. Home. We're in our homes now. Many things to be thankful for. But in heaven, we're going to be truly home. The place where we were made for, home. I hadn't been a Christian long when someone at work said to me with a bit of a sneer, who'd want to live forever anyway? That would be terrible. And I think at the time, I didn't really know what to say. There's some truth in what he says. Who would want to live forever in this fallen world? In the end, to go on living in this world where there is so much heartache will be more of a curse than a blessing. But eternal life in the very presence of God, where everything has been made new and each day is more exciting than the one before, that is going to be amazing. And so perhaps I should have said something like this to my colleague. Eternal life in these bodies, in this present world, you're right. It would end up feeling that we were trapped in a never-ending nightmare. But eternal life in a perfect creation, where we're surrounded by people we love, and every day is filled with a perfect combination of both resting and exciting and satisfying activity, that is going to be paradise. So, I can't remember if I gave out the final verse. Did I write down the reference? Anyway, it's there on the sheet. It's, we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. And you'll have to look out the reference because I don't have it in front of me anymore. So Jesus's resurrection guarantees that our resurrected bodies will live forever in God's presence. So these are the four reasons why the resurrection is of first importance. Our forgiveness is guaranteed. Jesus' care for us every day is guaranteed. Our own resurrection is guaranteed. And our everlasting bodies are guaranteed. May God bless you all, and may the truth of Jesus' resurrection actually make a difference to our lives over these coming days. Let me close just by reading the verses that come at the end of the book of Hebrews, and then Phil is going to turn our sound back on again, and we'll all be able to chat to each other and say goodbye to each other before we go. But let me just read these verses from the end of the book of Hebrews, where it says, "Now may the God of peace, brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen."